Now, thank you again for your interest and for the lovely singing. I'd like to turn to the Gospel as Mark records it for us, please. Mark's record of the Gospel in the first chapter, so that's book 2 in the New Testament, Matthew, and then Mark. Chapter 1, and we'll take our short reading from verse 14. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Now, it's verse 15 especially, 14 is the connection, but verse 15, the Lord Jesus in his preaching says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And that's our reading from the scriptures. I want to say a little bit tonight about repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the past nights we've been endeavoring to think a little bit about some of the questions that are on the invitation, and one of those questions was, does life matter? Life matters in many different ways. We were thinking last night a little about the brevity of life. And life is brief. We were thinking about the certainty of death that can't be avoided. And looking a little as well at the judgment that lies beyond death. Life is so important because what you do in life with Jesus Christ will determine your whole eternal destiny. That's why it is so important. It is urgent, because the decision that you take tonight may well be the last opportunity to make a decision regarding Jesus Christ. And if that decision should be a fatal one, then eternity with God will be lost forever. The Lord Jesus then says that the time is fulfilled. The time has run its course. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And of course he was referring to the fact that he, the Messiah, the Christ, had come into the world. And of course, if you have any knowledge of the Bible, you will remember that he came unto his own world that was made by him. And his own people, the Jewish people, they received him not. They rejected him. I see that back in the Old Testament that the kingdom of God, in a sense, was offered nationally to the nation of the Jews. It seems now that it's more offered individually. The Lord Jesus, when he says that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye, repent you, all of you, you see, but it's not sent out as to Israel, often addressed as an individual. That is, the nation taken collectively as one individual. But the message now from the Savior is, it's to each and every one of you. And it's repent and believe the gospel. If you're familiar, you will recall that John the Baptist had come some little while prior to this. And John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Now the Lord Jesus takes up the same message and he says, it's necessary to repent. Well, what does it mean by this repentance? Some will tell us different ways to describe the word. I'm going to try and put it in a simple way. Repentance is a change of mind. But not just that. It's a change of mind with a corresponding change in actions. In other words, repentance is not just mere remorse. Now that is included in repentance. No one ever honestly repents without a sense of regret, a sense of sorrow for having committed something that is wrong. But many people in the world, they are remorseful when they can't. But very often they're remorseful when they're caught doing something wrong, not so much for what they've done wrong, but the fact that they have been caught doing the thing wrong, and they'll have to pay the consequences. No one likes getting caught for speeding, and often drivers on the road, they're very remorseful. They regret the fact that or they've committed some other road infringement. And they're caught, but it's often, well, I don't really think I was going very fast. I don't really think it was a terrible thing that I was doing. But, there's a sense of regret that I've been caught. But that's not repentance. No. It does have that regret, but it's a genuine remorse for having done the wrong thing. It's a whole change of mind, of thought. Now, you see, it's a change of thought toward God. Because many of us have come into life and gone through part of life at least thinking that, well, God is a loving God. You see, there are some people that they say it is just not rational that a loving God would ever punish his creatures eternally. Now, people move around this country as well as Australia, and that's the message that they will tell you. That if you don't manage to get into God's place of blessing, then you'll be obliterated. Because it's just not within reason of thinking that a loving God would ever banish you eternally into hell. In other words, there is no such place as hell, and God couldn't send you there. Well, if there is no such place as hell, then I ask, why did God ever bother to send his son? Why pay such a supreme price just to move me up one notch if really, if I miss out on salvation, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, I'll be sent into obliteration, know nothing more about it, and so all I do is I miss out on the blessing. It's almost as if, well, if I fail to get my certificate or I fail to get my degree, well, I don't get it. But you know, there are many people today, and I said, well, so what? And some people that never got their degree in university, and today they say, well, so what? I'm a multi-millionaire, and I didn't get my degree in university, or I didn't bother to go to university, and I'm worth more than most of those who have got their degree. Or others, well, I didn't do so well in life, but it doesn't really worry me a great deal. But with God, it's very, very different. You know, we can move on and we can think that God's mercy, as we sometimes see, is our only hope and plea. That God will look upon us. And as Clive was emphasizing last night or the night before, so many people think that when we come to before God and before the Lord Jesus, well, our good deeds, everything that we've done good, will be weighed up against that which is bad, and
by chance, just hopefully, the scales will tip in our favor and we'll slip into heaven. That's not the way it works, you see. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Lord Jesus says, you must repent. You must change your thoughts toward God. Why? Because God is infinitely holy. If we walked down the street and tonight went into the center of town and stopped a dozen, 20, 30 people, whatever, people, and we asked them, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. Okay, well, I want you to finish this statement for me. God is what? And I think that at least 70% of them, and probably more, would say God is love. And that's the truth of the Bible, and it's the beautiful truth. I thank God that He is a God of love. But if that was the only thing that God is, see, the Bible tells me that God is eternal. The Bible tells me that God is holy. The Bible tells me that God is righteous. The Bible tells me that God is just. And I can't then just think of God in the way that I like to think. And of course, many people think, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not really too bad. I need to change my thoughts regarding myself. By thinking that I'm not too bad, it is just as to say, well, I think I've got a fair chance that God would accept me. Many people say, well, I've never robbed anyone, and I've never killed anyone. And I try not to do any harm to anyone. Well, I think I'm a reasonably fair sort of a human. I have to change my thoughts. Every single one here that is saved and on their way to heaven, we have had to change our thoughts and come to recognize that despite this or despite that, despite anything that we may consider to be good, God has said that there is none righteous, no, not one. Again, He says that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't have salvation until you come to change your thoughts about yourself. And then we need to change our thoughts about sin. There are many folk that say, well, sin is rather nice. There's some sins that aren't too good, and there's some sins that I shouldn't do, but there's a lot of sins that some people would class to be sin, and I don't really think that they're too bad. But if you're going to have God's salvation, you need to change your thoughts about sin. And God says that even the very thought of foolishness is sin. And who hasn't had a foolish thought? There are so many things that, you see, if I had to, like some preachers tell you, they tell you, put your sins on Jesus. I'm glad that the Bible doesn't tell me to do that. Because so many sins that I have committed in my life that I wouldn't even deem to be sin. I thought they were just a little bit of fun, a bit of a prank, or just something a bit discolored, but not really too bad. If it was left to me, I would judge it completely wrong. There are many sins that I have long since forgotten about, and I would forget them. But the Bible tells me that God laid on Him, His Son, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Who put my sins on the Lord Jesus Christ? It wasn't me, and it's not up to me. It was the holy, the righteous, the all-knowing God of heaven. And He knew every single one of them. And He put them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as though He were the sinner, He judged Him on account of my sin. So that I, the sinner, in changing my attitude toward God and my attitude about myself and my thoughts about sin,
might put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we need to change our thoughts about life and death as well. Many people laugh at death and laugh at the thought of death and mock the reality of death. One man once said to me, well, I'll just take it as it comes. So I get up in the morning. If it's raining, well, I just take it on the chin. It's a wet day. I get up in the morning and it's a nice sunny day, well, I take that on the chin as well, and it's a lovely day. When I come to die, well, I'll just take it on the chin as well, and whatever happens will happen. That's easy to say when you're in good health. That's easy to say when death seems a long way off. You get face to face with the reality of death, and it's very different. Some of the men that have mocked God and waved their fist in the face of God in life have cringed and cowered in front of death when the reality has come. Or to live a life that is ready to die. There was a man in the Bible, Balaam he was called, and once he said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. But you can't die the death of the righteous unless you're prepared to live the life of the righteous. And your last end won't be like the end of the righteous if you don't trust Christ and have that salvation in life. Something else that you need to change your attitude about, your thoughts about. And that's the death of Christ. You've come on through the years, perhaps, and you've thought, Jesus Christ died 2,000 odd years ago, so what? So far removed. That was on the other side of the world. That was 2,000 years ago. What's that got to do with me today? It's got everything to do with you. It's got everything to do with me. For our whole eternity hinges upon what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary. When he gave himself a ransom, the price to free the slave, to free the one that was captured. He gave himself. He bare our sins. He suffered our sins in his own body on the tree. He laid down his life, as we said last night. He just placed his life. Finished. And because he did it to God's satisfaction, God raised him from the dead. He's a living Savior. And he wants you to be saved. And that's why the God of heaven has not sent his Son Jesus Christ back yet to take saved ones to heaven. It's because he's waiting in love for your soul. He wants to see you saved. But how much longer will God wait? I cannot tell you. But up till now, in grace, in mercy, the God of heaven has waited. You see, when I come to the gospel by John, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you come to the gospel by John, it talks so much about believing. In fact, you find believe or faith or believing or believeth in John's gospel 100 times. John never says a thing about repentance. Well, there are many different views on why. I've got a simple view, and I'll share that with you. My simple view is this: unless there is genuine repentance, there never will be real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because unless we are prepared to change our thoughts about God, to change our thoughts about ourselves, to change our thoughts about sin, to change our thoughts about what things good we can do, to change our thoughts about life and death and about the death of Christ, unless we're prepared to turn away from our sin. Now, putting it in everyday language, it's doing a U-turn.
I don't know what they say, but Australia said, doing a U-ey, 180 degree turn. Instead of heading on down the hill, if there's danger, it's turning around. And it's putting my back where my face was. And it's heading the opposite way. Instead of having my back to God, instead of rejecting God, I turn around to God. And in essence, I say to him, God, you have been right all the time and I have been wrong. I thought I wasn't too bad. I thought I was pretty good. I thought I could slip into heaven. I thought my good deeds would earn me salvation. I thought that you would just let me into heaven. I thought so many things. But you have been right and I have been wrong. And I believe now that the only way to heaven is taking my place as a sinner. Said Paul as he preached, he tells us in Acts chapter 20, that he preached repentance toward God. It's God that's been wronged. It's God that has been offended. It's God to whom we must repent and tell God, I do acknowledge, I do confess, I recognize my sin, and I am sorry for it. But more than that, I'm going to turn away from it and turn away from my sin. And I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Said the Satan, repent ye. Repent you. You, whoever, each and every one of you, repent you and believe the gospel. So says the apostle there, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This word toward that we have in Paul's preaching is a lovely word as I understand it, as I've been told it means, because I'm not a Greek student. I can't tell you what it means exactly, but what I've been told, it means it's faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith right up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's faith into the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's like a little child that comes for safety to its parent or to some grown up person and puts his or her hand in the hand of that person. Help me, they say. Hold me, lift me. They just put simple confidence in that person without questioning, without wavering. It's just as if they say, I know that you can do it, and I'll just rest in you. But the difference is that any parent, any adult, in any deed can fail. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no possibility of failure. In other words, what we say, faith in a person is often, as one person put it, it's a calculated risk. You weigh up the pros and you weigh up the cons and you say, yes, I believe that this person can, but that person can fail. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no possibility of failure. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Repent, he says. Change your mind, but with a corresponding change of actions. Because repentance on its own, although in a sense true repentance, will always lead to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or this afternoon, as Clive continues to preach the gospel, if you've never ever done it, in a very simple but a very sincere way, take your place as a sinner. Recognize that salvation is alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. Says Paul as he writes to Titus concerning believers, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. And put your faith in him. And God says, you will be saved.